Are you ready to open an investigation into your hormonal health? Welcome to the Decode Your Hormones miniseries, hosted by your hormone balance founders, Ryan and Candace Birch. Let's crack this case open. Welcome back to our Decode Your Hormones secret podcast miniseries. Today, we're helping you decode the signs and symptoms of hormone imbalance, taking into account your age, reproductive stage, your top symptoms, and lifestyle patterns. I'm Ryan, co-founder of Your Hormone Balance, and I'm here again with my mom, Candace Birch, who has been a health educator my entire life. She has a master's in health education and began specializing in hormone health when I was in middle school. After going through perimenopause hell, finding her path to relief through testing and natural approaches, and becoming the director of education at one of the country's largest hormone testing labs. She worked alongside the leading scientists, doctors, and practitioners coming up in the field decades ago, and she has been helping women make sense of hormonal changes, prevent disease, find freedom from chronic or persistent symptoms that hijack our happiness, and feel more confident advocating for ourselves to our doctors and healthcare team. So thank you for joining me, Mom. Did I get all that right?
I think you got all that right. Maybe it's going to be hard to live up to. We'll see. No, but I do feel I have some unique experience and I'm grateful for it. And I'm grateful you can share it.
You should be really proud of the work you've done. And, you know, you should also be, I know you are proud of the fact that Jess and I have followed you into this field and we work with you.
Amazing.
And it is amazing because we really didn't want to hear about hormones for most of the years that you were talking about it. And we always say we were, you know, plugging our ears and telling you not to talk about hormones at the dinner table. But obviously, we have followed suit for many reasons. And I wasn't really into hormone health when I was younger. I did work as a weight loss consultant in college for 2 years where we tested women's hormones and supported them with lifestyle changes, which was because of you. And that opened my eyes and did get me more interested in it. But I still didn't pursue this field until my mid-20s when I came off hormonal birth control, couldn't get my period back, wasn't getting help from multiple doctors, and finally asked you. I don't know why it took me so long. I was trying to do it on my own, I guess. Finally asked for your help. And following the steps, the protocol that you gave me, I was able to get my period back fairly quickly and adjusted my lifestyle to relieve the symptoms I was having at that time, like anxiety, difficulty losing weight, and low libido, and have been able to, for the most part, keep them at bay without really experiencing severe symptoms. So that's a real testament to these foundational habits that we teach and we will talk about today. I also just wanted to mention that, you know, some of you may know our story, many of you may not, but we really built this business after you not only helped me and then, of course, Jess when she came off birth control, but we grew up seeing you help so many women in perimenopause, menopause, help relieve their symptoms. And so when I came off birth control in my 20s, I had you help some of my friends too with various hormonal issues and started realizing how many women needed help in this realm. And we started getting you on popular podcasts to share this fundamental information that most women don't know, as we talked about in our last episode, because we don't have a class on it, because we don't learn about it. But, you know, we've been in this business now for 8 years, and we talked in our last episode about what keeps us going, but we have worked with thousands of women, and it has been so amazing to hear from so many of them who benefited from doing this deep dive into their hormones, who have been able to get pregnant. We've actually heard from many women who we've worked with that have been able to get pregnant, lose weight, sleep better, uncover conditions they didn't know they had, like PCOS or endometriosis or fibroids, through, you know, getting this insight and investigating with their doctor further, having a stronger libido, feeling energized again, having fewer hot flashes, regulating their periods, their moods, and just experiencing a happier life. It is possible. And this is a result of women finally learning about their hormones and how to nourish them, which again is just fundamental information that shouldn't be controversial. Every woman needs it. And that's what we're here to deliver. Also, we are not here to replace your doctor. We are hormone health educators here to empower you with this information so that you can experience greater hormonal clarity and natural symptom relief. So, Mom, in today's episode, I have structured it in a way that reflects our unique approach to hormone balance. And that involves, as you know, putting physiology, individual hormone data and lifestyle patterns under the microscope to help women understand what's really going on and how to support themselves naturally. So in this episode, we are going to tackle hormone balance in these three parts. Number one, breaking down the reproductive life cycle and how your symptoms are connected to these inevitable hormonal changes. Number two, digging into the data you can collect about your own body. This includes symptom tracking and testing if possible. We will cover more about the types of testing in our next episode. Number three, examining lifestyle patterns that can contribute to more severe hormonal highs, lows, and fluctuations. So, Mom, can you explain the core stages a woman goes through so our listeners can identify where they are in this process, and then we can get into how these hormonal changes contribute to symptoms.
And first, we need to do a silent survey. How many of you learned this in school or got this information? Isn't it amazing that probably you didn't? We get told this all the time. No one, when, how was I supposed to know? All
Yep.
the queries about, am I in perimenopause? Am I in menopause? What's happening? So, I mean, basically, to keep it simple, there are three stages that are the reproductive life cycle in terms of hormonal health and balance. Is, the premenopause, when we're in from 13 or so, 12 or so, when you get your menarche, your menstrual period begins, through your optimal fertile years until you're in your late 30s, really, you're in premenopause. And that's the period during which the hormones should be surging and humming along, and you're having periods that are like clockwork, and your cycles are normal, patterned, and you ovulate, and you have periods that are, 28 plus or minus a few days every month. And, there's not a whole lot of problem there in terms of anything you would construe as a hormone imbalance. In fact, I think that's the time that people don't even think about it. But it's also the time when all kinds of pressures are upon us, when we're in high school and, we're trying to lose weight and our skin breaks out and we've got numerous pressures that create imbalance, our diets, our sleep, there's just a lot
Stress.
going on. And so often younger women who should be, operating on all cylinders can actually have symptoms of hormonal imbalance. And the furthest thing from their mind is menopause. But sometimes we look at a test result and it can look just like a woman in menopause, particularly if they've been put on birth control, for symptoms that really are clear signs, hallmark signs of imbalance, like acne or skin breaking out or not sleeping or weight gain or irritability. There's so many, PMS, really bad PMS. These are the PMS years too. And the sex, so that's number one, the first stage, premenopause. Now we're getting into our late 30s, early 40s, and we're moving into that perimenopausal transitional period, which so many women aren't quite sure they're in. They don't really know. And that's probably because perimenopause actually has two phases in a way, and we see it happening earlier and earlier. In the classic sense, perimenopause, peri meaning nearing menopause, should start around your mid-40s. But it's happening earlier and earlier, as we see in test results of women whose hormones are fluctuating up and down. It is hastened by stressful, a stressful life. And, stress can be good or bad stress, but it just means a lot's going on. And so many women in their late 30s and 40s have kids, aging parents, full-time careers. I mean, it's just a hustle all the time, and life is speeding up. Just the amount of information we have to process and take in and remember every day. And, there's just, it's a lot. So at the same
Yeah.
time, the inevitability of perimenopause is that your body starts to change. You're in your late 30s, your mid 40s, up to that point, and you start to notice first phase of perimenopause is that what someone will say to me, oh, my periods were always like clockwork. That starts to change. That's the first hint that bleeding change, you have bleeding changes. Maybe your periods are heavier or lighter. Your cycle may get shorter, so your periods occur more often in that cycle. You may start to notice some symptoms that, like you've got a little bit of some belly fat, and that's really hard for so many women. I always had a flat stomach. Oh my God, what's happening? So things that sort of seem to be occurring out of the blue. Suddenly, I feel like, I feel bitchy and itchy, and I don't know why. And why am I losing my temper? Just things that make you feel mystified. You walk into a room, you don't know why you went in there, or you can't remember. I remember with you girls, I couldn't remember my sentences, and then as or I couldn't remember the word I meant to say, and it sounds so common, but it's just really annoying when you're going through it. And then perimenopause, which, as I was saying, is the prelude to menopause, lasting 8 to 10 years. So we've got this progression of fluctuating hormones, the roller coaster days where you're up and you're down. And that has a lot to do with the fact that estrogen is starting to swing like a seesaw. It's starting to change and to go up and to go down. Ovulation is now not as reliable. So you may have a period, but maybe you didn't ovulate that cycle. When you don't ovulate, you pretty much don't produce progesterone. And that's a really important part of the perimenopausal experience. The fact that ovulation gets wonky, it's basically starting to wane. And as you get into the later stages of perimenopause, those ovaries are really packing their bags, as I often put it. But in the interlude there, we're getting it's erratic. So sometimes you ovulate, sometimes you don't. In the cycles when you don't ovulate, you didn't produce progesterone, so you've lost the calming of progesterone. You've lost, which is going to affect your sleep. You've lost the balancing power, which is going to make the estrogen you have even higher. That's when estrogen dominance starts to rear its ugly head, and you start to feel more breast tenderness or bloating, or you're starting to gain weight in all the wrong places, like your hips, your thighs, your bottom. That's when you feel more kind of angsty, more nervous, anxious, because that calming effect of progesterone is not on board. And PMS can be, as so many women have described to me during perimenopause, just, I'm Jekyll and I'm Hyde. I really feel, if any of you remember Edgar Allan Poe story about the doctor who's, anybody who's been married to a Gemini or knows the changes in personality. It's, you're up and you're down, and you don't know what to expect. And nobody that's in your family or your loved ones know what to expect either. And I remember with you girls, what was it? Hot flashes and night sweats. That's another main symptom of perimenopause, along with the changes in bleeding and the pattern of your cycle. And you start to have those hot flashes during the day, in the middle of a meeting. You're dressed to the nines, and suddenly you're trying to handle, a sweating attack, and you're giving a presentation. It's the worst thing, believe me, I've been there. And how about in the middle of the night? We call the hot flash in the middle of the night a night sweat. And that also is disrupting your sleep. So there are many kind of pronounced dramatic symptoms during perimenopause, which are exacerbated by stress in your life and how you're handling it. Is it accumulating? Is it unresolved? How good are you at de-stressing and taking care of you? Self-care becomes one of those things that kind of goes out the window when you're taking care of everybody else. And we women are notorious for doing that, aren't we? Taking care of everyone but ourselves. And then, oh yeah, maybe I had a massage about 3 months ago. So then we get, the latter stages of perimenopause are, and this can all be, we can smooth out these bumps by replenishing and restoring hormone balance with a little help from supplements, from herbs, from stress management techniques, and perhaps a little bit of topical progesterone or Chase Berry Vitex that gives your ovaries a boost and helps them keep carrying on. During these years, you can still
Nutrition
be
too.
fertile. You can still have a child. So it's another it's a tricky period because a lot of women are still on birth control. They're afraid to go off if they don't want to have children. That exacerbates the problem of the hormonal changes you're going through. And then as you get to the latter stages of perimenopause in that second phase, now your periods really are erratic. They may go missing for months on end, AWOL. You may find that your symptoms have gotten worse if you haven't been addressing them and you haven't known what to do. So, that's where you really find yourself just feeling so out of sorts, so unlike yourself, so unhappy with your mood swings and feeling tearful and not having any libido, all of the worst of it. Doesn't have to be that way, but until you get a handle on this and know what's happening, women suffer in silence. They don't, or they suffer and they complain a lot, but they still don't know what's happening and they don't know what to do. And that's the disadvantage of not having the education and the awareness that we strive so hard to provide for you. And then, so we get to the end of perimenopause, 8, 10 years on, and now those periods that have been, have gone absent or missing for months at a time. You may have spotting, you may have all this wonky haywire experience. And then after 12 months of no periods at all, you are officially 12 months in a row is the definition officially that you're in menopause. And this is when, or we sometimes call it postmenopause, which I think is a misleading term because it makes women feel like, oh, I'm postmenopause, I'm done. It's over. So I don't need to worry about my hormones. I don't need to think about hormones. I don't have any anymore. This is what women will tell me. And that's when we have to say, oh, yes, you do have hormones and you better have some hormones because they rule. They run our emotional, physical, mental lives. We need them for, so they have functions. And menopause is when so many of the hormones that we were making when we were in perimenopause and even during perimenopause are really not, they're very low at a low ebb now. There's an exception with women who are quite overweight because estrogen can be made in fat cells. But that can be a problem too because we're not ovulating in menopause. Ovulation has stopped, periods have stopped, progesterone production has stopped. So now we can have too much estrogen. We often think of menopause as being all about estrogen deficiency, but I'm here to tell you it's not only about estrogen deficiency, it's also about estrogen dominance because the balance is lost. We're talking about, full-blown imbalance of hormones. So
And
estrogen,
that's an important time to also just explain. You can experience symptoms of quote unquote estrogen dominance, which no, is not a medical term or diagnosis. It just explains the situation where you have an excess of estrogen relative to the amount of progesterone in the body. And that can happen with normal estrogen. It can even happen with low estrogen if there is not enough progesterone to balance the amount of estrogen that you have.
And it's very prevalent during perimenopause too, because of that fluctuation in ovulation. And when we talk about the stress component, the adrenal glands, which mobilize our stress response and pick up the slack in hormone production when our ovaries are not producing optimal amounts, actually use progesterone as their precursor. So progesterone is the hormone that not only balances estrogen, maintains a pregnancy, signals the start of a period. It's also the main source of cortisol production by the adrenals. So there's something called progesterone steal. The adrenals in times of prolonged or increased stress will actually steal progesterone from its reproductive duties. So now we're suffering from stress effects as well.
And also, I think that's a good area to focus on quickly, that postmenopause, a lot of women are dealing with lower estrogen or lower progesterone symptoms. Like you said, some women can still be experiencing the estrogen dominance symptoms at the same time or even have excess estrogen. So all scenarios are still possible there. But during that stage of life, postmenopause, the adrenals take over all hormone production, or the majority of hormone production in the body, as you mentioned. That's why at that stage and really all stages, focusing on supporting yourself through self-care, stress management to really strengthen the adrenals becomes essential. But it's not just essential after menopause. It is essential pre and perimenopause, as you alluded to, when stress can really make those imbalances more significant, make symptoms more severe, make hormonal fluctuations more severe.
Yeah, and when cortisol is in the ascendance because the adrenals are working overtime to meet the demand for the energy that cortisol is responsible for rising. You know, cortisol is that cortisol awakening response is what gets us up in the morning. Cortisol is what produces our energy, manages our stress, regulates the sleep-wake cycle. Mobilizes our immunities against illness. It has so many functions. And what happens in menopause is that, that cortisol can predominate because you don't have the balancing power of that estrogen and progesterone that you had in pre and perimenopause. Also, testosterone can become more prevalent because estrogen and progesterone are what we call anti-androgens. Testosterone and DHEA being androgens, male hormones that build bone. We females have them too, but they're called the male hormones because men have heavier bones and bigger muscles than we do, right? But women have all those, have to have the same hormones for our competitive drive, our sexual drive, our libido, our strength, our stamina. And that's all good. But as we get older, if our estrogen and progesterone are diminishing, then relatively speaking, these other hormones tend to rise. And so testosterone can be actually a more steady state presence in older women, attributing, which is why we see sometimes, how many of us have chin hairs as we get older? Or, we start
Facial
to.
hair, yeah.
Facial hair or our voice
Hair
gets
loss.
deeper. Is my voice very deep right now? Our
No.
voice gets deeper, or we can be find ourselves being edgy, irritable, have a shorter fuse. This has a lot to do with dryness. The low estrogen coupled with a higher testosterone level, relatively speaking, tends to rob us of our secretions. So now we're dry everywhere. Our hair is dry, our skin's dry. We've got vaginal dryness, which makes sex not as enjoyable for sure, painful. And that is often tied in with the low libido symptoms that we see. It's not so much that the libido is low, it's more that sex can be painful. And this is what women in menopause are dealing with. We have with vaginal dryness, you're also talking about atrophy of the lining. And so that can cause, an uptick in UTIs, urinary tract infections in older women are way too common. I'm here to tell you about that as well. D-mannose, people use D-mannose. It's great. Mix it in a little water. It helps to cleanse the urinary tract. But so, and the other point about menopause is we're sort of beyond the, in fact, the symptoms like the symptoms that have to do with the roller coaster fluctuations of hormones that are much more common during those perimenopause years that are so dramatic, really start to kind of calm down a bit as you get into menopause. You're not, women will say, "Oh, I don't have those symptoms anymore," and that's another thing they think, "Well, I'm done." But what's happening now is that the lack of hormone is putting you at risk for disorders and for disease. It's putting you at risk for osteoporosis because what's behind strong bones is estrogen and testosterone. It's putting you at risk for muscle wasting, weakness in your muscles, feeling stiff, the aches and pains, low exercise tolerance. You don't feel like working out because you don't feel good in your body. And workouts tend to make you feel more exhausted than rejuvenated. Majorly, estrogen is a huge protection for heart health. It strengthens the heart. It has everything to do with the flow of blood through the arteries, the rhythm of it. Testosterone. There are more testosterone receptors in the heart muscle than anywhere else in the body. So, we need these hormones in a sense. It's not about symptom relief now that we're talking about in menopause. Now we're talking about protecting ourselves against disease. We're talking about healthy aging, staying strong and vital, having some kind of a libido, some kind of drive so that you wake up in the morning feeling motivated. And cognition. You want to have your memory, right? You want to be able to process information and focus and be able to think straight and keep learning. You know, that's what life and longevity are about. And there's no way my mentor, Dr. Zava, we have a great interview on Women Talking Frankly with him and Kenneth Stevenson, which you ladies should listen to. But you know, he will tell you without some replenishment of hormones in these menopausal years, it is pretty difficult for the body to keep running on, you know, at an optimal level. I'm 77. I feel like I could keep going. I don't, you know, I'm not ready to stop. It
You have
sounds
way
old
more
to me.
plans and way more going on in your life than I do. So
But
something's working.
I realize the importance that I have to stay strong. I have to feel good enough to get up in the morning and go out and get a good long walk and get some exercise in. I have to have the support that my adrenals need, because if the adrenals are managing my blood sugar and my immune system and my sleep-wake cycle, and now they've taken over all hormone production in the body, which by now they have, they need extra super support to get me up in the morning and functioning. We can't live without adrenal cortisol, by the way.
Well, and it's important from what you were just saying too, to bring it back to what we were talking about in our last episode, the importance of testing at any age before introducing any hormone, because you need to know, like what you were just describing. A lot of times we see this women post-menopause or in menopause that have lower estrogen and progesterone. That makes sense. After ovulation, we're not producing that optimally anymore. Then they have normal testosterone, even, or normal-ish DHEA. But again, those hormones are could be considered dominant relative to estrogen and progesterone. Now they're dealing with high androgen symptoms, even though their androgens aren't technically high. It's just the proportion relative to estrogen and progesterone.
Relatively
So
speaking,
if you're going to start taking testosterone without looking at those levels, then you could then be making symptoms like facial body hair, like you mentioned, hair loss, sugar cravings, irritability. You could be then putting gasoline on,
balding.
balding. You can be making that worse without realizing. And even, you know, so it's just so important to have some kind of baseline testing and or a real analysis of your symptoms so that you can say, oh, really flagging for yourself, those are more symptoms of higher androgens. Okay, you know, think again before you go straight to a hormone, you know, getting straight on a hormone without more of an analysis, more of an investigation into these symptoms.
And of course, you know, this menopausal years are the years that we want to consider hormone replenishment. Women do better with some hormone replenishment, especially if you want to live past, you know, as I always say, 100 years ago, women didn't live much past 50. We didn't have to worry so much about what menopausal symptoms we would have. Now we're living to be 70, 80, well, 85. I think 82 is the average lifespan for women. And you know, my mother died at 92. It's really common, and I think we all want to, who wouldn't mind becoming a centenarian? You know, living, there's so much to experience in this life. So hormone replenishment becomes the time, and this is that interview that we have on Women Talking Frankly, talking about the bioidentical hormone restoration model of care. Where, yes, you're testing all of your hormones and you're replenishing the hormones that show up as deficient or out of balance in small physiologic amounts. You're not trying to duplicate. I'm not trying to compete with you, my 35-year-old daughter. I'm replenishing for a woman my age, and just to, you know, to maintain, or maybe a bit more, just to top up, you know. And then also that goes with being so aware of, you know, the way we must eat, the way we must exercise, the way we need to sleep. And I should mention also, when I was saying that overweight women can be high in estrogen, and estrogen dominance or excessive estrogen can be a problem at all ages and stages. And I'm not sure that we mentioned that these hormones, you know, I said they all have a function. Estrogen is a growth hormone. So it grew all of our female organs. It grew the egg and the ovary during our fertile years. It grew the uterine lining that we shed as a period. And when we're older, we have to worry about it growing breast cancer cells. So many breast cancer cases are driven by estrogen. And the importance of progesterone at all ages is really to do with its ability to balance and to inhibit estrogen growth activity. So, the life cycle is partly, it's a balance between these master female hormones, estrogen and progesterone. So at any stage, we can be at risk for, active, an imbalance. When there's imbalance of those two key hormones, that's when these different risks arise. And if you take them long term, if they remain unaddressed, think of osteoporosis, bone loss, that's silent. Women don't know that's happening. They get to the point, and if they don't, aren't aware that they need to check that out or get a DEXA scan or get their hormones tested, they're not going to know until it's maybe possibly too late, until someone says, "Oh, you've got
And
osteopenia.
that's
You're
driven
wondering
by
why you just broke
lower
your hip."
estrogen.
Yeah, or why you hurt your knees so easily, So anyway, yes, the testing is just it's really at the point at which, and during perimenopause, a little replenishing of hormone can help to balance out all those bumps in the road and make you feel sane again, a physiologic amount. But never, never must we do that without having tested. There should always be the informed, shared relationship with your healthcare provider, your health edge, whoever you're working with, that we're looking at test results. We're finding where you are on that map and saying, okay, let's meet you where you are and balance things out, because these hormones work together. They all work together. You can't supplement in isolation. You have to
Well,
create that symphony again.
yeah, and the exception to that would be, a lot of younger women or women in perimenopause may supplement or use progesterone alone for a period of time, but you're referring more to also postmenopause. It's generally a combination that you need
Yes,
to
or
really,
post-hysterectomy. If you've
yeah, or
had all your ovaries removed, et cetera, then you've lost all that complement of hormones, and that needs to be replaced. When you're in premenopause, if you need progesterone, if you're, let's say, you're very low in progesterone because there have been years of stress, or you've been in a state of extreme exercise, and your hormones are out of balance, and now you're trying to get pregnant and you need progesterone on board to maintain a healthy pregnancy, then yes, you can use progesterone on its own because you're making enough estrogen. But it's in those years into perimenopause and menopause, I'm glad you brought that up, Brian, when you can't rely on optimal amounts of hormones being produced through ovulation, that now you have to really make sure that you're creating balance, you're restoring a balance of hormones when you start to use them. And of course, bioidentical is the byword here. Natural hormones is what we're always talking about. Premenopause, 20s to late 30s,
a couple things.
perimenopause, the two stages, and then from our late 30s all the way up to 50, 51, when menopause is officially that 12 months in a row without a period. And then for the rest of your life, you're really actually in menopause. That's that it's it doesn't end.
This is something, Mom, that I wanted you to explain just a little bit more, the impact of synthetic birth control on our hormone levels that can actually mimic levels seen generally postmenopause. And that's why a lot of women who have been on birth control for a while can experience symptoms like a woman who is postmenopause: hot flashes, night sweats, brain fog, difficulty sleeping, all of these things, because of the impact birth control has on suppressing ovulation, suppressing hormone production to be able to stop a pregnancy. And that's not talked about enough. And another little piece in there is that many doctors still refer to the progestin in birth control as progesterone, and it is not the same thing. And the media often says that too. And that really confuses women, because I even talked to a friend the other day who said, "Well, I'm on progesterone birth control." You cannot be on progesterone birth control. It's called progestin, and it's a synthetic version of progesterone, but if you were taking progesterone, you would actually be increasing your chances of pregnancy, not stopping pregnancy. So they're very, very different.
Very, very different. And progestin is hugely potent. I mean, you said it, Ryan. Basically, birth control is shutting down, suppressing ovulation. So the hormones that you are relying on are synthetic. They're a one size fits all approach to controlling the symptoms that you went to the doctor for. You had acne. You had weight gain. You had, what are some of the reasons women go to the doctor? Or most, many women, there's over 50%. I've seen this statistic, which is shocking to me, that so many young women are on birth control and they're not using it for contraception. They're
Also
not
often
getting,
for skin breakouts and heavy, painful, irregular periods.
because it takes time for normal cycles to establish. So, you get your period, let's say at 12 or 13. Maybe there's a lot of stress in your family. Maybe you're trying to be, thin, or you're a cheerleader, or that you have so many pressures and you're not getting enough good fats and protein in your diet that are the building blocks of hormones, and somehow your periods don't establish themselves properly, and you have an excess of some hormones over others, and now you've got breakouts, et cetera, and you go to the doctor and you're put on this pill because it's going to just shut all of that down and put you on a steady state liter of synthetic progestin and estrogen that are so potent that occupy the receptor side of a cell where the normally occurring progesterone and estrogen should live. Hormones have their little docking bases on cells, and they fit perfectly into those. Every hormone has a molecular structure. Think of a puzzle piece. When you do a puzzle and that piece fits perfectly, that's how hormones fit into the receptor cells of the body, where they kind of open the door to the cell and go in and flip all those master switches that control our mental, emotional, physical health that I've referred to. Well, a birth control hormone that is so much more potent gets in there, occupies that receptor site, and overstimulates the cell. So not only is it shutting down normal hormone production and stopping your periods, it is overstimulating and creating imbalance in and of itself. So now you have side effects. And who doesn't have side effects from birth control? The weight gain and the bloating and the bad moods and the crying at commercial, so many dramatic symptoms that women go through. It's not always doing what you were prescribed. It's not doing what you hoped it would do. In fact, maybe it's dealing with the acne, but you're feeling worse in terms of your moods and your brain fog, or you can't sleep. And this can go on. How many women have we talked to, Ryan, that are, they get on a birth control pill when they're 15 and they're on it till they're 30. And then we have them calling and wanting to test and find out where they're at because they can't get their period back. They've stopped now. They've stopped the birth control. They wanted to stop before because they knew it wasn't good for them and they didn't feel right, but they were afraid to stop because they didn't want to get pregnant. Now they do want to get pregnant and they can't get their period back. And they're worried, are they going to be able to have a child? And this is, and even older women I've met in their 40s who are still on birth control because they're afraid they're going to get some kind of adult acne. Or, they're just so habituated to using it because it's such a default approach to anything that smacks of hormone imbalance. When, and I think, I'm not even sure that women, when they get the pill, realize that what those symptoms were that drove them to the doctor in the first place were actually hallmark symptoms of imbalance that they could have tried to approach more naturally, the heavy periods, the
How about how many women are, like you said, this default approach put right on it? And some of these women have other issues like endometriosis or PCOS or fibroids, and there's no investigation first. And so then you're put on this sort of hormone numbing, potent medication for however long. And yes, once you come off, this is a real vital time, either when you've decided to come off or when you're deciding to come off. This is where you if you're listening and you can relate or you're in this place, you can really take control of your journey from here, and you can plan to test after you come off about maybe 6 to 8 weeks when hormones have kind of returned to more of a baseline level, not as much fluctuations after coming off those potent hormones, and see where your baseline is. Because generally, we're seeing lower hormone levels. Sometimes it's not the case. Sometimes coming off birth control can mean that now you have a higher estrogen or something. So the game plan needs to change per person based on what levels look like after you come off. And there are so many things that you can do. And that's what we specialize in, this custom natural guidebook to all of the options that you have, from food products, which could be supplements, hormones to consider, talk to your healthcare team about, and lifestyle changes, stress management, self-care, AM and PM rituals. You know, there's so many little things that you can do that make a big difference. And even starting one action step at a time, you can see change. And it is frustrating because we do get put on these birth control pills without an explanation of what's actually happening to our hormones and how is it that it works? How is it that it's stopping pregnancy? Oh, it's shutting down the hormones that are responsible for pregnancy. Most women don't understand that, right? And then we're put on it for years and years. And then the very doctors putting us on it don't even realize themselves that they're calling the progestin in the birth control progesterone, which is so different. That's our body's own hormone.
And you know, Ryan, a lot of the women I talk to that are your age are very aware of the fact that at some point, and there are plenty of women that don't want to have children now. We have a confusing world, and people are worried about bringing children into this environment. But there are plenty of women that do know they want to have children, and they're practicing conscious conception. And so they start thinking about, you know, I'm not sure I want to be on this pill. I think there's a lot more awareness now, and women are realizing
Oh,
this
yeah.
could be, you know, this is shutting things down. And I'm sure some of you are listening and you're thinking, well, I'm sexually active. I cannot get pregnant right now. I have to be on some kind of a contraception. But isn't this a good time for that? There are, you know, there's the family planning methods, there's the Oura ring, there's non-hormonal birth control in the form of IUDs, copper IUDs, which don't suit everybody, but they can be
Yeah.
very effective in terms of contraception, and some people breeze through. But you have a lot of choices now, thank God.
Can we
They're
just say though that those choices are not perfect? Like, you
right.
know, someone who is in the middle of that. And we have always said women do not have the best options in terms of
No.
non-hormonal options. A lot of women have not had a great experience with that copper IUD. I had some symptoms and side effects, and I came off it twice when I tried to, I've had it put in twice. That's just my experience. Some women love it. But that one is the easiest option for non-hormonal, although of course then there's chatter about even the small amount of copper can possibly impact estrogen levels. It's not really
We don't have an
proven.
easy go, we women, do we?
No, we
We
don't. And
don't have.
but I will say the apps, like you mentioned Oura Ring has a collaboration with Natural Cycles. That is what I use now to just not even think about it, because taking my temperature, I just wasn't consistent with. Some women are wonderful with that. You can use calendar met. There's all kinds of methods for tracking. And a million apps. There's Clue, and that's some of what I wanted to get into coming up here. It's important for us to clarify we're pro birth control choice, and we understand that some methods are better in certain seasons of life. And when you're dealing with a lot of stress, tracking your cycle and all of that might feel even more stressful. But I will say, for me, the Oura Ring has just, I don't even have to think about it. So there are some things that you can do in that realm. But also, we won't get into this. When we talk about birth control, please know there's many different kinds, and they don't all work the exact same way. But the majority of synthetic birth control does work by shutting down or suppressing ovulation. And that is where you are no longer producing natural progesterone. Estrogen is impacted and reduced generally. But you know, IUDs compared to the pill, the patch, the NuvaRing, IUDs do work a little bit differently. They don't always suppress ovulation. So, you know, sometimes that can be a better method for women if they know for sure they want to be on some form of birth control. So there's pros and cons to weigh with every type. Your doctor should be giving you more information to help you make that decision, but you can also read up on it, take the pamphlet, take your time. And what we really are up on the soapbox about, again, is just please understand how it impacts your body and how these symptoms are directly correlated. And to wrap this up, I do just want to give a quick little summary of what we've discussed to just really hammer it home, because after hearing all this, we've jumped around a little. We've covered the three main stages in order, but do you feel clear about where you are in the reproductive life cycle? Are you in your teens, 20s, or 30s dealing with hormonal symptoms in the premenopausal stage? This can be symptoms of changing estrogen and progesterone levels and/or higher testosterone or higher stress levels. This can look like acne, PMS, heavier, irregular, or painful periods, as we discussed, weight gain, anxiety, trouble sleeping. And there can be many factors for that. Again, that's where testing and looking at your symptoms in depth can be helpful to connect the dots. Or are you in your late 30s or early 40s starting to deal with major hormonal shifts and changes due to perimenopause? Again, this isn't like an official diagnosis. It's not as easy to say you are officially in perimenopause. It can be with these signs and symptoms really help guide you in understanding, okay, I'm in that zone, but it really is going to be marked the rough start of it by changing periods, as my mom explained, hot flashes, night sweats, brain fog, trouble sleeping, those more severe symptoms. And there are those two stages. So earlier perimenopause, generally 40s is when it starts, but for some women younger, again, stress plays a big role in when that starts to when
Yes,
that
it does.
starts. And then phase two of perimenopause is really in that you're really close to menopause, which generally again happens at age 51, 52, early 50s. But we tested, we had a woman test the other day and 53 still has heavy periods. So it really does depend on the individual. And in menopause, again, we talked about technically levels generally become lower as your ovaries are packing their bags, as you like to say, mom. And that can look like lower moods, reduced strength and stamina, hair loss, vaginal dryness, difficulty losing weight or belly fat. And you see these symptoms again at all ages too. It just depends on what is your hormonal profile? What is the level of stress in your life, or even trauma for some people puts you at disadvantage? Underlying health conditions that maybe haven't been addressed or discovered yet by your healthcare team. This is a huge issue for women that, for example, endometriosis is generally only even found through surgery. So, PCOS still very underdiagnosed. So we have to be looking for the signs and symptoms and ask the right questions and advocate for ourselves. And when something is presented, a medication or a pill to suppress a symptom, taking a little bit more time to understand, is that the right choice? Does that feel comfortable? Why is that being suggested? And how will it impact your hormones? And then I did just want to end with a question for you, mom. Well, first, hopefully, if you're listening, you can identify where you are in that pre-peri postmenopausal life cycle. But it can feel so overwhelming still to just even accept that this is all happening, that these changes, might be more severe than you were prepared for. But I think why we have these conversations is just to feel seen and to recognize that it is happening. And the other part to this is there are things that you can do about it. And as I mentioned earlier, it could be one small little action step, but first step is recognizing and accepting where you are in this process. And then the next step is, okay, what is something that I can do about it? We have options for that. We offer our free hormone symptom quiz as a great next step to get a custom report of what's going on with some of your, what could be going on with some of your top hormonal symptoms, your top hormonal concerns, some info about your age and where you're at in the stage. So, highly suggest checking that out. You should receive a copy of your results via email. Let us know for any reason if you don't receive that, just reply to the email that you were sent. And also let us know your feedback. We've spent a lot of time to build that custom quiz and we just want to make sure that it's helpful for you. But I did want to go back to you, mom, and just ask when you were in perimenopause and you began the roller coaster ride and you felt out of control. And I remember that vividly. Can you share some of those baby steps that you took to wrap your head around those changes happening and ultimately what you did to start getting some relief?
Yeah, I wish there was a book out there called What to Expect When You're Expecting Perimenopause, which, that's that famous book about pregnancy. We need one for perimenopause. Because even I, who was a health educator, I was a journalist writing about health issues all the time, it still kind of hit me like a ton of bricks. And I remember feeling so, besides the hot flash, I always say the hot flash every 20 minutes, which is not an exaggeration, and a mood swing in between, and being completely impatient with you girls when you were little. And of course, I waited a long time to have children. I was 41 when I had you, so that tells you a lot. I was in the full-blown perimenopause, but it took me a while because I didn't know what to expect. And hopefully we're changing the dialogue around that. And I didn't, and I think, like a lot of women, I wasn't ready to accept what was happening. You go through this, it's sort of denial. You're in this denial thing, like, I don't want to be this person. I'm looking in the mirror and I don't recognize myself. I don't like the way I look. I don't like the way I'm acting. I don't like my moods. I'm usually happy-go-lucky. So I went through all of that and, just felt really out of sorts. And I always tell the story about you looking at me one day with tears in your eyes, just so little, and you just didn't know what to do with me. I was so mean.
You
And
were
I
a
felt
little
like
scary.
I was scary. And I think I realized, I think it was that actually, that day when I thought, okay, Candace, get a handle on this. This has got to be hormonal, like, duh. But ooh, but I hope
Wasn't talked about.
it wasn't talked about. And I, even in the health education field, hadn't given a whole lot of thought to this. I think we have much more awareness now, but who thinks about hormones back then, except when you're in menopause, or then you start to think about it. But I wisely, somehow I got hold of the book, What Your Doctor May Not Tell You About Menopause, by Dr. John Lee, who's kind of the guru of the whole movement that was, bent on educating women about, hey, what your doctor's not telling you, what you're not learning. And I read that book from cover to cover. I remember at times bursting into tears. Of course, that's very typical during perimenopause, crying at commercials and bursting into tears when you're, but I just, I felt like, oh, he's talking, he's speaking to me. He's speaking, you just, it was like that feeling that we get when we talk to women who have tested with us and they're getting out the Kleenex because we're looking at their test results and they're showing us on in black and white how these levels relate to how you're feeling. And that's what happened to me. I read the book. I learned about the fact that there was a test. There was a test to measure my hormones. I took the test. I found a naturopath in the town we were living in who knew about natural hormones and how to interpret testing. And it was a sea change in my life. The first thing that I, had to do was certainly I had to stop drinking a ton of coffee and pulling all-nighters to finish deadlines on articles I was writing. My, it's when you're under stress that you start to do everything wrong. You're not eating right. You're not sleeping. So I had to change my lifestyle, and I added a little bit of progesterone because that is the first hormone that starts to fluctuate and plummet in those midlife years, those in your 40s. So that's what was happening. My progesterone was low. My estrogen was high, relatively speaking. So I was gaining that weight. I was bloating. I had breast tenderness and mood swings, the PMS that was, worsening. And so it was really the combination of changing my lifestyle, realizing, no, you can't drink all the coffee you want on an empty stomach. No, you cannot be on your computer till 3 in the morning and then think
Which
you're
you
gonna,
were, I will attest, you had
then
some
think you're gonna
crazy
be human
late.
in the morning. No, you can't be on your cell phone, at midnight. And you do need to eat protein, good fats, veggies, dark leafy greens. You do need to take your supplements. You do need to take care of yourself, get a massage every now and then. Take a walk, ask for help. Ask someone to help you and give you a break if you've got kids and aging parents and all that. It's, we don't ask for help. I never asked for help. I remember you guys were the first to take me for a pedicure. I had never had one. I just didn't spend time on myself. But I think the big game changer was, obviously all of those things. Also being aware that there were hormones in the foods we were eating. We had lived in England for a long time. You guys luckily grew up there where they did not put hormones in the food. But that was something I hadn't been thinking about enough. So we went clean with the diet. And it made a
And
huge
side note,
difference.
organic means no hormones added.
Organic, no pesticides.
Some meat doesn't, like chicken, poultry, they don't add hormones. It's primarily beef.
It's
Primarily
primarily
beef.
beef and dairy you have to be careful about. It's gotten much better now. We have many, many more choices than we did when I was in menopause or in perimenopause and moving
Yeah.
into menopause. And I was really about 48 when things really hit me hard. So, and the big game changer, of course, was adding a little dab will do you of progesterone, that little pea-sized dab of cream, which kind of equates to about a quarter teaspoon or 25 grams, which is topping up what your body is no longer making for you and matching physiologically what your body does make, which is about 25 to 30 grams when your body's turning out the hormone that you need. And, of course, my picture too, I was not only in the age range, the classic age range for perimenopause and the inevitable fluctuations and the inevitable change in ovulation and the inevitable lead up to menopause, but I am also the classic story of someone who had a lot of stress. I came
Yeah.
to motherhood late. I had two little kids. I had a full-time job as a journalist and to finish my work, and I
You
also
moved from
commuting.
England to the States. That was a big change.
So when I think of all, I had a very difficult mother who
Yeah.
was, made life, she was a character, but man, she made life stressful at times. So,
Oh,
there was so there was a lot
yeah.
going on. I laugh now, but I'm sure women listening right now can relate. But that doesn't mean we have to let it run us down and rule our life. And when you start to feel overwhelmed and you realize that stress is taking center stage in your life, you got to think about those little adrenals that sit on top of your kidneys that are trying to run the whole show. You've got to give them support. And that means sleep and rest and time to yourself, downtime. I ask women, what are the 10 things? Make a list of the 10 things you love to do most in all the world. Sounds like an easy thing to do. That's easy. List it. Yeah. Well, what's the big eye opener is when you go back through the list and check off, when's the last time I did any of those things?
Yeah.
That can be a real eye opener. So, there's a lot there. This is a lot about what we talk about, but I went through it. I have been there. I've been in menopause now for 20, how many years? 25 years. And I have to say, I have been replenishing with a physiologic amount of natural bioidentical hormones for all that time. And often women will say to me, actually, I was getting my eyes checked the other day. That's another thing, your vision goes. But that can you there's you, there's much you can do about that too. But I was there getting my eyes tested. And the fellow that was doing the testing, when he asked me my age and I told him, and he absolutely looked shocked. And I was so flattered. And I thought,
Yeah,
I think
you
a
look
lot of it
amazing.
has to do with this. I have good energy, and you've got to
You do.
walk the walk. This is a practice. It's a practice, and by now I'm into it. I'm habituated. And as we always say, so many women have been feeling lousy for so long they can't even remember what it was like to feel good, to feel like that they don't even really know how much better they could be feeling. And
Yeah.
that's so very possible with a very moderate approach to just restoring what you deserve, restoring and replenishing what you need to operate in, bring back your humanity and your sense of humor and your drive and your motivation and your zest for living.
And
That's where I'm at.
this is not one size fits all. Everybody, as we've said, has a different hormonal profile, can be impacted by where you are in the hormonal life cycle, can be impacted by stress, which, by the way, as you've mentioned, mom, you say good stress or bad stress. What she means by that is, like you often say, weddings, birthday parties, the things that, meeting up with friends, the things that are fun can
Childbirth,
also be
it's stress.
childbirth. Like life events that are so exciting and we celebrate can be still really stressful. And then there's the stress that's maybe out of your control. And maybe you got an injury or a car accident or someone passed. And all of these things can, add to our stress load in the same way. And then there's also other forms of acute stressors like undereating, overexercising, too much sugar, too much alcohol. The way that it impacts the body is as if
Caffeine.
it is a stressor. And so, for example, when we talk about overexercising, it's very common, for example, endurance athletes to lose their periods or gymnasts to lose their periods. And that can be combined with being underweight or undereating. But there are lifestyle factors and there are hormonal age-related factors. There's your unique lifestyle patterns. And then there's, looking at your symptoms and your test results and collecting data and even biomarkers through an app like Oura Ring, or, that's really big now too. So there are all of these factors that we can pull together to start kind of putting under the microscope and putting together a plan or an approach that feels
That works
manageable
in
for you.
synchrony with your hormones and with your biology and your individual chemistry. I mean, you can't out supplement. You could take a bunch of great supplements, but you can't out supplement a stressful lifestyle where you're living on caffeine and sugar and, going to bed too late and all of that. And on your, that can't, isn't sustainable. And I think we all know, what we're doing when we're not taking good care of ourselves. So really
Well,
about
that's.
cultivating a whole new awareness of a whole new journey of, that takes you into the place of balance.
Yes, and that's a great place to pause and end here. We want to get into more about testing in the next episode. I think we've covered the majority of what we wanted to cover today for symptoms. Again, taking that symptom quiz is a great next step. Now, in our next episode, we will go over the different types of hormone testing available, why it is that we use hormone testing and saliva and at-home collection kit in our practice. But of course, there are important insights and factors to know regarding each type of hormone testing and how it works and how results might vary from blood to urine to saliva. And we want to serve all of you. We know that that's an overwhelming topic as well. What's the right kind? When do I test? How do I get most accurate results? And so we'll give you our perspective and dig deep, honestly. And we are soon going to be unveiling our non-test package options too. We want to support you wherever you're at. Testing is just a great tool that we use to help teach women about their hormones and how they connect to symptoms in a very precise way. It's not just testing any day of the month at any time. It is intentional, and taking into consideration the fact that hormones do fluctuate and where you are in your cycle, if you have a period. So all of that is taken into consideration, but the goal is to just give you more data that you can use to uncover clues about your hormonal health and continue this investigation. So we hope you find this helpful. We are planning to do the Decode Your Hormone Testing episode next, and then after that, we will get into how to create your natural rebalancing plan and based on user fee listener feedback, we will be happy to do more of these as well because this is fun for us.
It is. Ladies, I hope this has resonated with you and given you some food for thought and some hope and trust in your intuition that what you're experiencing is not all in your head, like you've often been told. You just need some, some education and to follow your heart and do what's needed to rebalance your hormones and restore and replenish. And it can be done. I'm living proof. And we've talked to how many thousands of women, Ryan, and in my years at ZRT, thousands of women, 10 million women have been tested by the testing company that we're going to tell you about in the next episode. So we know that these things are helpful and life-changing. And I'm so glad you were here tonight with us, or today. I'm in England, so it's nighttime here. But thank you for being with us and taking the time to listen. And I hope it changes your mind.
Let us know. Thank you for listening. We'll catch you on the next one.